9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO, online KFYO.com, and the Radio Pup app. Follow along on Facebook, also on Twitter at KFYO, at Chad Hastie Radio on Twitter. Numerous ways to get in touch with the program. Phone lines open to you at 770-5790, toll free 1-800-687-0790. We do have a campaign going on right now for Texas Senate District 28 to replace Robert Duncan. Joining me right now to talk about quite a few different topics, including his recent trip down to the border, is current state representative Charles Perry, who is, of course, seeking that state Senate seat. And Representative Perry, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm good. Good morning. I'm sitting down here in Shangelo getting ready to hit the trail again. Anybody that's following the Facebook, I think that song "I've Been Everywhere, Man" is pretty appropriate. But fun times. We're getting out there and seeing a lot of folks and meeting a lot of people. And, you know, interesting enough, our issues are a lot alike in some areas, but there's some very specific issues that are different in a district this big. So it's been a great education tour for me. I'm learning a lot and just really pretty overwhelmed by just the response we're getting. So it's good on that level.
Well,
but how are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Now, I have to ask you, have you been contacted by PETA for the buzzard hit yesterday?
No, you know, we're really fortunate. I know everybody makes light of it, but it was probably about the size of a turkey at Thanksgiving dinner. It's a big bird. And took out our windshield yesterday. Fortunately, it didn't get into the truck, but we're probably just really lucky that it didn't. My passenger guy, my guy that kind of co-pilots me, got a lot of glass in his lap.
Wow.
Little glass shards, but just minor nicks in it, and I was kind of cleaning out the truck, and it's just everywhere. So we're having that glass replaced today. But, yeah, we took out a buzzard. He is buzzard food today. So it's the irony of the circle of life.
Well,
completed yesterday.
Well, glad it wasn't any worse. It could have been. Yeah. It could have been worse for everyone involved, and they woke up everyone in the truck. You know, if anyone was a little tired, they were up after that.
Well, when you're running behind from town hall to town hall, we got a pretty tight schedule. We hit 30 to 45 minutes, and it's just always on the go. And you know, when you're out on the road that much, you're going to have those things come up. I'm glad it wasn't a deer.
Yeah,
and I'm glad it get into the truck. That would have been a bad thing, but they're replacing it this morning.
Great, great. Well, we appreciate you coming on with us. Let's talk first about your recent trip down to the border. What did you experience when you were down there?
Well, it's my third visit in 4 years. I've been down there a couple of times, and it's the same story. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. You know, as Texas, we decided that the federal government wasn't going to take action that was needed to do, and we had to do something. I applaud the state for stepping up and doing that. We put budget money. We've increased that, I believe, 60% since I've been in session. And we're actually been spending money out of pocket today. That's federal job. I think we'll ultimately win the reimbursement war that's coming. But as a practical matter, we are doing jurisdictionally all that we can do to deter the cartel that's pushing this influx into our state as much as possible, legally possible. But we don't have the jurisdiction to do what we need to be doing down there. Ultimately, the fix is, this is very straight up, it's common sense, and we don't have a federal government that gets it, but we need to clean out the cartel south of the border. We need to push them back and destroy them as the animals that they are, and then let American business go back in and rebuild the communities that were over there prior to the cartel running them out, give people that economic viability that they desire and deserve and had before the cartel took them out, and let them go back home. They want that. They want to be back over there. They want their lives back. But that's the long-term solution that doesn't seem to be getting to the federal government. I tell everybody, we'll spend $1 trillion in Iraq helping the oppressed. I think there's not been a more oppressed people to the south of the Texas border than what we've seen over there. And those people want to go back into their homes and their lives and their businesses. But the cartel activity truly is, you cannot underestimate the impact and the effect that it's having and has had over the last 10 years. And as a country, we've just totally ignored it and treated it like it didn't exist. And so I was real proud of the fact that we're doing what we're doing, and we're doing effectively. It is expensive, but we're coordinating with state, local, and federal agencies in a way you would be thoroughly impressed that the dollars we're spending is being very effectively spent. But unfortunately, it's a Band-Aid on a solution that doesn't have a resolution until we step up to the table as a federal government and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, it sounds like you know that would be something that even the governor suggested, you know, maybe what was it, maybe last year when he talked about, you know, there may have to be some type of military intervention. You know, he kind of said it in passing comments. Is that what you're kind of angling for as a long term solution?
I don't know how you remove the element that's created the problem without military action. These people have no conscience. Cartel activity has no conscience. They're not good people. They're not here to help. They're here to destroy, and they're here to make a dollar. So, it to me, if everybody remember the Colombian drug lord connection was in the 80s or so, and we as a nation covertly, I think, just sending in small groups of individuals to remove and take out that element, over the time, we kind of won that battle. So it can be done. We know how to do it. We have the resources to do it. And it's a national security interest. There is no doubt within this. And you can look at it from a national security interest of, one, the elements that they've trapped coming through. We've identified over 700 jihadists, Islamic radicals that seek to do and destruct this country through this determent process over the last few years. So we know that the bad guys are trying to come in. We also have an economic interest in making sure that we get control of it. In Texas, and I had some off-the-record discussions with some federal guys, and I just asked them point blank, do you see these individuals beginning to get into our public school systems? And they said pretty much yes. And so 50,000 students hitting our public school systems in the state of Texas, and that's just a conservative estimate, is a cost of about $12,000 per kid. It'll end up being a $600 million cost to local and state taxpayers. And that's just the public education aspect of it. You go into medical and all the other things that go through, it's not a viable situation. Welfare states and open borders are not, they're mutually exclusive. They can't coexist. And that's where we are, literally in this country and this state specifically.
Visiting with Representative Charles Perry, seeking the Senate seat in SD 28. And let's talk about real quickly the funding. You brought up that it's real expensive what the state's doing right now with the National Guard. Governor Perry has come under a little bit of flack because of the funding aspect of it. Are you happy with how this is being funded? What's the long-term solution from a state level? And, you know, if you were in the Senate right now, what would you be looking at doing?
Well, what we do, number one, is we're going to actually have to sue the federal government to be reimbursed. I don't think that that's any big secret. We sue the government all the time. I think we'll be in a court battle to get reimbursed for it since the governor called the troops up. The House of Representatives put bill the other day, but it went nowhere. But it is the federal government's obligation. So I'd be pushing hard on every avenue. I would go to the point that we might even consider offsetting federal dollars with state dollars if we had to. That's not, if you will, that's not within the rules of our norm, but we've got to get the federal government's attention. So first of all, I'd hit them right in the face with, this is not our problem. We're fixing your problem, and you owe us compensation for it. So we've got to pursue that. As far as what we're doing now, the state budget, we're fortunate to have some surpluses. The government, the governor does have a few discretionary funds. He pulled this $38 million out from a radio infrastructure fund. That would not have been in my first pick. That has a lot of ramifications to some of the things that, you know, I think we do in bandwidth and stuff into our areas. The governor does have some discretionary funds to keep from having to go to LBB for every request that we need as these things arise. Long term, we already budget several hundred million dollars for border security. We've added to that. We're spending $12 million a month on the National Guard deployment, which won't really take effect for about 45 to 60 days till they get trained. And we're spending another additional $1.3 million over what we budgeted for DPS and Texas Rangers. So even the $38 million is going to be consumed pretty quickly. So we're going to come back in the next session with having to deal with, well, how do we pay for this and hopefully win the battle of reimbursement. But if I was in the Senate today, I would be pushing for the reimbursement to start now because it's going to take a while to get it. I think we ultimately will. The funding is going to come out of either GR, straight up, just general fund revenue, which we don't need to spend our dollars in that way, but today we have no choice not to. The option of doing nothing and allowing that border to have that porous nature that it has is absolutely not. If you deter and make the business decision on the cartel that it's not good to do business in Texas because there's so many roadblocks to get through, they'll move to sanctuary state of California. Now, that's not the long-term answer either, but at least it gets them out of our problems. The funding has to be a federal government issue because it's not our responsibility to protect our borders, foreign and domestic. That's the federal government's role. We just have a federal government. The funding's a challenge because we've got other needs, and there's other things in the budget that's got to be dealt with. So today, we fund it the best way we can in hopes of winning the battle of reimbursement. I would be fighting for the reimbursement aspect and using whatever means that state has its facility, probably starting with the AG, unfortunately.
Visiting with Charles Perry running for State Senate District 28, you're traveling from city to city, and this is a condensed campaign calendar, so I'm sure every single day you're hitting multiple cities if you can. What are you hearing from people besides immigration? Obviously, that's going to be a big issue right now in a lot of people's minds, but what are some of the other key issues that you're hearing where you can tell them, here's where I separate myself from the others in this race?
Well, I think experience and appropriations experience specifically gives me a leg up as far as being able to work through the issues, because ultimately every decision we make, and most people that you come into, is a funding issue. You know, if I'm a school, if I'm a county, if I'm a government agency, if I'm a medical facility in these rural communities, they want to know how I feel about funding and how that looks. And, you know, bandwidth and just internet connections are a huge challenge for these small rules. So you get into different issues for each community. I mean, we were in Sterling City the other day, and it's a 313 contract issue, which is something to do with tax incentives through school districts. So they're all unique in one respect. Water is a primary concern. Water is pretty universally the topic of the day. On an awareness level, everybody's talking about the border, but that hasn't changed in 4 years. It's interesting to me. My push card in 2010, probably with minimum exception, would look a lot of like a push card today. The border security continues to be a theme throughout. So water and border security, but then when you get into specific communities, rich district, poor district for school districts, those are different issues. School funding is going to be a major topic with the court case spending coming down. Some people have no access to additional water resources to develop. Some communities have additional resources to develop but don't know what they're going to do, and that's more of a city government issue. But they want to know where the state's going to play in those. So it's been kind of unique in that everybody's got their own issue. But as a general rule, people just want good government. They want water. They want their schools to work right and decent medical if they can get it in those areas. So
we're visiting, not changing. Visiting with Charles Perry right now, and I know you have to go here in just a little bit, but I always like looking at different campaigns and what campaigns are maybe using as slogans, what they're saying on social media. And one of your main opponents out there is, you know, keeps on saying vote for leadership, not politics, and that we don't need complete partisans. That almost saying that you're too partisan, that you're not working with others down in Austin. What would be your response to that?
Well, I think leadership is getting things done. I keep hearing him say it, and usually when he's talking, I'm thinking, well, that describes me pretty well. You know, I went in at 10, we got a voter ID deal done. I went in at 10, we got our water funding done last session. We tackled some education reforms that needed to be addressed for over 30 years. So the idea that there's not leadership, and I always kind of look at it, that if one individual thinks they can go in there and direct 181 type A personalities and get all these things done, that's just not the way the process works. You bring good ideas and hard work, you're going to have your role. You're going to be a significant part of it if you're one of those hard workers. But this idea that there's no leadership, that would kind of indicate the whole system has no leadership and one guy's going to go down there and make the change. My leadership's been very clear. I said we'd get voter ID done. We did. I said we'd protect our borders. We've increased funding and working on that. I said we'd fund a water plan and get a water plan for the state going that hadn't happened in over 20 years. We did that. Significant education reform through HB5. So when you look back in the 4 years, we've done a lot. And then I would also say $27 billion deficit in my first session, $8 billion surplus in my next session. I don't know how more of a training ground and experience factor that you can build into the things that I've been exposed to, at least at the worst of times and the best of times. So from a leadership perspective, a lot of times you know you're leading by the fact that you're not out in front of everybody saying you're leading. So that's kind of been my approach. A lot of things get done through the back scenes for tech. that you'll probably never know about, but I was a part of.
Right.
You know, you just don't go out and approach it the way. I think that's not a characterization of how we work down there, especially when you're in West Texas. You know, you got 16 people pulling the cart together because we have to. So leadership takes on different roles and different looks, but the effectiveness of what I've been able to help get done through my other colleagues and working with them is undeniable.
Representative Charles Perry running for State Senate District 28. Early voting starts on August 25th. It's right around the corner. We'll go ahead. We'll let you go.
Hey,
next time you're in Lubbock,
you
we'll have you in studio. Thank you very
I'm
much.
I'm going
sir.
Bird hunting here in a few hours.
Yeah, be careful out there, okay?
We'll see you, man.
Have a Bye. Good one. That's Charles Perry, electcharlesperry.com, where you can view his website. We'll be right back.